The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Happy holidays, everybody. From the National Organization of... Whoops, I forgot to tell you about our sponsor. Today's Vision News is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, poster... says, I learned recently that Braille books are HSA eligible while perusing on our HSA website, Health Equity, and wanted to share with all of you. I plan on seeing if they will cover the cost of Braille label sheets. Braille books, HSA eligibility. Eligible with a health savings account, HSA. Books or magazines in Braille are eligible for the excess cost of the Braille item over a normally priced item, which also includes audio products, for example, CDs. Braille books reimbursement is eligible with a flexible spending account, FSA, health savings account, HSA, health reimbursement arrangement, HRA, and a limited purpose flexible spending account, LPFSA. Braille books reimbursement is not eligible with a dependent care flexible spending account, DCFSA. Revenue ruling 75-318. What is Braille? Well, we know that definition. And this code is read by touch to the by the visually impaired, but it can also be taught to those who are not visually impaired to be read by sight. A commenter quotes Rule 75-318, 1975-2C.B.88, concerns the deductibility of the cost of Braille books and magazines purchased for the taxpayer's blind child, and holds that the excess of the amounts paid for the Braille editions over the cost of regular editions of books and magazines is a medical expense. The poster continues, where an item purchased in a special form primarily for the alleviation of a physical defect is one that is ordinarily used for personal living and family purposes, the excess of the cost of the special form over the normal cost of the item is an expense for medical care within the meaning of Section 213 of the Code. See Revised Ruling 70-606, 1970-2C.B.66, which involves an automobile specifically designed for transporting individuals confined to wheelchairs, and holds that the amount paid by the taxpayer for the automobile is that attributable to its special design is a medical expense under Section 213. See also Revised Ruling 75-318, 1975-2C.B.88, which concerns the deductibility of the cost of Braille books and magazines purchased for the taxpayer's blind child, and holds that the excess of the amounts paid for the Braille editions over the cost of regular editions of books and magazines is a medical expense under Section 213. An item ordinarily used for personal living and family purposes will be recognized as an item purchased primarily for medical care in the absence of objective evidence of such primary purpose only if it is readily apparent that it prevents or alleviates a disease or disability. For example, it is apparent that the disability of individuals confined to wheelchairs is alleviated by the special design of the automobile discussed in Revision Rule 70-606, and it is likewise evident that the effects of blindness are alleviated by the Braille editions of books and magazines discussed in Revised Ruling 75-318. Also from the NOPBC, a librarian named Emily Villafranco from a public library in Texas has reached out to give away books in the Braille book collection. They will be moving buildings soon, so these are only available until January 31st, 2024. Emily gave the NOPBC permission to share her contact information. If you are interested in any of the below titles, please reach out to her directly. Here is her contact information. Email emily.villafranco at Cedar Hill, Texas, cedarhilltx.com. Phone 972-291-7323, extension 1329. Here are the titles that her library is giving away. Braille Institute titles. Note, Emily tells me that Brailleways and Expectations are all children's literature anthologies. 1. Brailleways, Volume 5, 2003. 2. Brailleways, Volume 2, 2000. Number 3, Expectations, 2003, Volume 55. Number 4, Brailleways, 2002, Volume 4. Number 5, Expectations, 2001, Volume 53. Number 6, Expectations, Kipper, Grade 1, in one volume. Number 7, Expectations, Cuss and Grandpa, in one volume. Number 8, Expectations, Cinder Ellie, in one volume. Number 9, Expectations, Kate and the Beanstalk, in one volume. Number 10, Expectations, Oh, the Thinks You Can Think, Grade 1, in one volume, two copies. Number 11, Expectations, The Bravest Dog Ever, The True Story of Balto, in one volume. Number 12, Expectations, Henry and Mudge and the Forever Sea, Grade 1, in one volume. Number 13, Expectations, Scaredy Dog, in one volume. Number 14, Expectations, Where the Wild Things Are, in one volume. Number 15, Expectations, Corduroy, in one volume. Number 16, Expectations, The Berenstain Bears, Trick or Treat, in one volume. Number 17, Expectations, Frog and Toad All Year, Grade 1, in one volume. Number 18, Expectations, Leo and Emily, in one volume. Number 19, Expectations, The Story of Babar, the Little Elephant, in one volume. Number 20, Expectations, Dolores and the Big Fire, Grade 1, in one volume. American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults titles. Number 1, Goosebumps Series, 2000. Number 6, I Am Your Evil Twin, by R.L. Stine, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 2, Goosebumps Series, 2000. Number 7, Revenge Are Us, by R.L. Stine, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 3, Goosebumps Series, 2000. Number 8, Fright Camp, R.L. Stine, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 4, Nightmare Room. Number 4, Liar Liar, R.L. Stine, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 5, Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever. Number 8, Marianne's Revenge, by Ann M. Martin, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 6, Goosebumps Series, 2000. Number 5, Invasion of the Body Squeezers, Part 2, R.L. Stine, Volume 1 of 2 volumes. Number 7, Goosebumps Series, 2000. Number 22, Full Moon Fever, by R.L. Stine, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 8, Nightmare Room Thrilogy. Number 3, No Survivors, R.L. Stine, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 9, The Hardy Boys, The Caribbean Cruise Caper, Franklin W. Diskson, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 10, Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever. Number 10, Stacy's Problem, Ann M. Martin, Volumes Number 1 and 2. Number 11, Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever. Number 9, Christy and the Kidnapper, by Ann M. Martin, Volumes 1 and 2. 12, A to Z Mysteries, The Lucky Lottery, Ron Roy, in one volume. Number 13, Just Enough to Know Better, by Eileen P. Curran, Master of Education. Number 14, A to Z Zip Mysteries, The Zombie Zone, by Ron Roy, in one volume. Nancy Drew, The Secret in the Stairs, by Carolyn Keene, volumes 1 and 2. Number 16, Nightmare Room. Number 10, Full Moon Halloween, R.L. Stine, volumes 1 and 2. Number 17, Nightmare Room 11, Scare School, R.L. Stine, volumes 1 and 2. Number 18, Matt Christopher on the Court with Venus and Serena Williams, by Glenn Stout, in one volume. Number 19, by Shaquille O'Neal, Glenn Stout, in one volume. Number 20, Tiger Woods, Glenn Stout, volumes 1 and 2. Number 21, Nightmare Room Number 12, Visitors, R.L. Stine, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 22, The Hardy Boys, Trick or Trouble, Franklin W. Dixon, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 23, The Hardy Boys, The Castle Conundrum, Franklin W. Dixon, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 24, The Hardy Boys, The Ghost of a Chance, Franklin W. Dixon, Volume 2 of 2 volumes. Nightmare Room, number 6, They Call Me Creature, R.L. Stine, volumes 1 and 2. Number 27, The Hardy Boys, The End of the Trail, Franklin W. Dixon, volumes 1 and 2. The Hardy Boys, The Spy That Never Lies, Franklin W. Dixon, volumes 1 and 2. Sassy, The Dazzle Disaster Dinner Party, by Sharon M. Draper, volumes 1 and 2. Number 30, Nancy Drew Whispers in the Fog, Carolyn Keene, volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew, The Wildcat Crime, Carolyn Keene, volumes 1 and 2. The Hardy Boys, The Test Cast, Franklin W. Dixon, volumes 1 and 2. Goosebumps Series 2000, number 4, Invasion of the Body Squeezers, Part 1, R.L. Stine, volume 2 of 2 volumes. Number 34, A Jigsaw Jones Mystery, The Case of the Frog Jumping Contest, James Preller. A Jigsaw Jones Mystery, The Case of the Perfect Prank, James Preller. A Jigsaw Jones Mystery, The Case of the Snowboarding Superstar, James Preller. Number 37, My Weird School. Number 10, Mr. Docker is Off His Rocker, by Dan Gutman. Number 38, SpongeBob SquarePants Zoo Day Disaster, by David Lehman, L-E-W-M-A-N. Number 39, A Jigsaw Jones Mystery, The Case of the Food Fight, by James Preller. Number 40, Nancy Grew, The Secret of the Candlelight Inn, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew Mystery by Moonlight, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew The Door-to-Door Deception, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew The Bike Tour Mystery, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 44, The Hardy Boys, A Will to Survive, Franklin W. Dixon, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 45, Nancy Drew The Clues Challenge, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 46, Nancy Drew Mystery at Morrissey Manor, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Number 47, Nancy Drew The Case of the Captured Queen, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew The Ghost of the Lantern Lady, Carolyn Keene, Volume 1 of 2 volumes. And Volume 2 of 2 volumes. Number 50, Nancy Drew The Mystery in Tornado Alley, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew The Chocolate-Covered Contest, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew The Clue of the Gold Doubloons, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew The Legend of the Emerald Lady, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. Nancy Drew Lost in the Everglades, Carolyn Keene, Volumes 1 and 2. From DisabilityRightsNC.org, Disability Rights NC, an introduction. Disability Rights NC, DRNC, voluntarily submits the following in response to Session Law 2023-135. This report is a snapshot of Disability Rights of North Carolina's efforts to carry out its mission to advance the rights of people with disabilities under federal programs and other funding streams to address serious, often dangerous, unmet needs its constituents face day in and day out. It is not intended to be an exhaustive report, but rather to illustrate the depth and breadth of the organization's work with and on behalf of disabled North Carolinians, our constituents and clients. About one-third of adults in NC have some sort of disability. Add to that, more than 203,000 children in NC are disabled. Every community and the majority of households in the state include people with disabilities. Disabled people are infants, older adults, professionals, students, parents, employers, workers, healthcare providers, voters, elected officials, enlisted military, veterans, and more. People with disabilities are part of every racial, socioeconomic, religious, and political category. Wherever people with disabilities live, work, play, or learn in NC, DRNC has a role to play. What is PNA, and why were they created? DRNC is the Protection and Advocacy, PNA, organization exclusively focused on the legal advocacy needs of North Carolinians with disabilities. Every U.S. state and territory has a PNA. Together, the 57 PNAs comprise the National Disability Rights Network, NDRN. DRNC is the only organization dedicated to advancing and defending the legal rights of people with all types of disabilities, of all ages, across the entire state of NC. Almost all of DRNC's staff, board, and advisory council members are disabled and/or family members of disabled people. Within the constellation of interests that comprises the disability team, DRNC's unique and critical role is to bring the rights and aspirations of disabled people themselves to the fore. The PNA network was created by Congress in the 1970s to address widespread inhumane abuse and rampant discrimination against disabled people. Since inception, the PNAs have had a life-saving mandate to identify and remedy abuse, neglect, and exploitation of people with disabilities in congregate facilities. The PNAs have necessarily expanded their focus from facilities to the community, as disabled people have managed to make progress enforcing their civil right to be included in the mainstream of society, particularly since the enactment of the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990. The PNAs have also expanded from advocating for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to people with mental health disabilities, to people with all disability types, including physical, sensory, learning, and traumatic brain injuries. The PNAs provide an invaluable service to people with disabilities and to all state and federal legislators, 100% of whom have disabled constituents. While the PNAs continue to find egregious violations against people with disabilities every day, there is no question that the PNA network has vastly improved the lives of people with disabilities and their families, and allowed members of their constituencies to become educated, employed, and contributing members of their communities, where segregation and isolation were once routine. DRNC structure. PNA funding includes federal and private funding. DRNC is skilled at complying with the requirements of every funding stream, and DRNC's independent audits consistently reflect outstanding financial management. Investments in DRNC's work result in meaningful outcomes. The federal funding DRNC receives is restricted by the disability group or issue area served. DRNC has grants limited to advocacy for disabled people with brain injuries, assistive technology needs, who have representative payees, and for voting rights advocacy. Consistent with the PNA's genesis described above, an essential function of the PNA's is monitoring places where people with disabilities receive services to prevent abuse and neglect. Another essential service PNAs provide is known as information and referral, which means responding to the thousands of contacts that come each year from people with disabilities, their family members and advocates, and helping them navigate their way to resolution of the myriad issues DRNC's constituents encounter. DRNC also devotes significant resources to outreach and education to ensure disabled people throughout North Carolina understand their rights, available resources, and that DRNC exists to assist them. In addition, foundations and private monies fund specific work projects and activities. PNAs have some flexibility to shape their work in response to the most pressing needs of their constituencies. This work is developed in collaboration with the disability community. DRNC refers to these advocacy goals as targets that address long-standing, serious, systemic barriers. DRNC continually gathers data and information through its work and interaction with its client community, supplemented by an annual survey, the results of which are carefully reviewed by the organization's governing bodies and staff to secure input and perspectives from key constituents and other stakeholders on how to best use DRNC's limited resources to address the most pressing legal needs of people with disabilities in NC, and to identify emerging trends. DRNC also conducts multiple virtual and in-person events each year to learn from people with disabilities, their family members, and other stakeholders through outreach and advocacy efforts. DRNC's specialized legal expertise and broad deep understanding of the legal and policy landscape at the state and federal levels that affect disabled people help us plan for the years ahead. Community access. Through its community access work, DRNC advocates for people with disabilities to have the same freedoms, choice, and opportunities to live their lives as other community members. DRNC advocates for equal access to community services and programs, fair and integrated jobs, and the right to make important life decisions without unnecessary restrictions. Recent examples of work in this area follow. Firefighter receives testing accommodations for state EMT exam. North Carolina High School Athletic Association agrees to alter its age eligibility rule for student athletes with disabilities. A large private university agrees to hire a consultant and revise its policies and guidelines to provide blind students timely access to accessible course materials. UNC Healthcare ordered to provide healthcare documents to blind patients in accessible formats and agrees to settlement. Police officers receive workplace accommodations and do not have to undergo illegal medical examinations. Winston-Salem adopts service animal policy after police force a blind customer out of Haynes Mall. Those are all footnoted with citations for their sources. Accessible voting. DRNC's nonpartisan accessible voting network helps ensure people with disabilities are able to vote. 1 in 4 people eligible to vote has a disability, but disabled people don't vote at the same rate as people without disabilities, mainly because of barriers to voting. DRNC's team engages in the following voting rights advocacy: distributing information on voting rights and how to register to vote through Meals on Wheels programs, making and distributing accessible voter guides in multiple formats and languages, monitoring curbside voting, testing the physical accessibility of voting, organizing accessible voting machine monitoring with partners, ensuring complaints about accessibility during the voting process are triaged quickly through DRNC's hotline 1-888-WE-VOTE number 2, and that appropriate agencies are notified to address the issues quickly, providing disabled voters accurate, reliable information about voting laws. Criminal justice system. People with disabilities are overrepresented at every stage of the criminal process, from law enforcement involvement to courtrooms, and especially in NC's jails and prisons. The state's system impacts the lives of people with disabilities and their families. Nearly 2 in 5 people, 38%, of people incarcerated have a disability. Unfortunately, many disabled people become entangled in the system as a direct result of unmet needs and systemic discrimination. DRNC's advocacy in this area has included ensuring disabled people receive prescription medication in jail, helping people with disabilities in prison get necessary accommodations, such as hearing aids, ramps, or braille to access programs and services, collaborating with other mental health advocacy organizations to improve the identification and treatment of people with disabilities in prisons and jails, monitoring and reporting on dangerous conditions for people with disabilities in jails, and advocating for systemic change, producing a first-of-its-kind database on projects addressing TBI in criminal settings across the country to identify potential efforts that would benefit North Carolinians, seeking implementation of the NCGA-mandated Medicaid suspension in jails and a reduction in reliance on solitary confinement, providing advocacy to individuals who have experienced abuse or neglect in prisons, and continuing advocacy efforts to improve the state's approach to capacity restoration for those ruled incapable to proceed to trial. There's more in the report that I'm going to read next year, but I'm going to move along now to another item. From fightingblindness.org, Thea completes acquisition of ProQR's LCA10 and USH2A treatment programs, plans to continue clinical development. Laboratories Thea, the leading European developer of eye care products, has acquired 2 emerging antisense oligonucleotide AON treatments for inherited retinal diseases from ProQR Therapeutics. Both AON therapies, sepofarsen LCA10 and ultevursen USH2A, previously demonstrated vision improvements in ProQR's clinical trials. In October 2023, Thea had announced termination of its agreement to acquire ProQR's LCA10 and USH2A assets, but the companies have since moved forward to ultimately complete the acquisition. Under the terms of the agreement, ProQR has received an initial payment of 8 million euros and may be eligible for up to 165 million euros in further development, regulatory and commercial earnout payments upon related achieved milestones, as well as double-digit royalties based on commercial sales in the U.S. and EU. The RD Fund, the venture philanthropy arm of the Foundation Fighting Blindness, invested in the development of ultevursen and supported ProQR's effort to find a buyer for both of its ophthalmic assets. We are delighted that Theia's acquisition of Sepofarsen and Ultevursen has been completed and to see these promising treatments move forward in clinical development, says Jason Menzo, Chief Executive Officer, Foundation Fighting Blindness. Both emerging therapies have demonstrated encouraging results in human studies and provide hope for preserving and restoring vision for patients. Sepofarsen was developed for people with Leber's congenital amaurosis 10, LCA 10, caused by the IVS26 mutation in the gene CEP290. Some patients in ProQR's Phase 2-3 Luminate clinical trial for sepofarsen had meaningful vision improvements. However, the treatment did not meet its primary trial endpoint, best-corrected visual acuity, BCVA, nor did it meet its secondary endpoint, navigation of a mobility course. Ultevursen was developed for people with mutations in exon 13 of the USH2A gene, which leads to Usher syndrome 2A or non-syndromic retinitis pigmentosa. In ProQR's Phase 1-2 Stellar clinical trial, Ultevursen demonstrated benefits in BCVA, static perimetry, retinal sensitivity, and retinal structure as measured by optical coherence tomography, OCT. Both sepofarsen and ultevursen are comprised of tiny pieces of genetic material that are injected into the vitreous, the soft gel in the middle of the eye. The genetic material masks the disease mutation in RNA, the genetic messages that cells read to make proteins which are critical for the cell's health and function. Masking the mutation enables cells to make the correct protein. AONs can be advantageous when large retinal disease genes, such as CEP290 and USH2A, exceed the capacity of viral gene replacement delivery systems, thereby making gene therapy development for these genes more challenging. From the AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind released its new strategic plan this week following its adoption by AFB trustees during their November board meeting. The new plan charts its course forward for the next 5 years as AFB boldly moves further into its second century of expanding possibilities for people who are blind or have low vision. Skipping ahead, the five priorities framing AFB's goals include generate knowledge that drives change, expand possibilities through workforce engagement, build a national narrative around blindness, foster a high-performance workplace, and achieve financial stability. There is more at https://afb.org/about-afb/strategic-plan. Well, I've run out of time for today's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next week. Have a wonderful Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and every other holiday that you might want to celebrate in the next 10 days.